Wolf, get away from that computer.
Bollocks. This episode of the podcast is brought to you by Surfshark. All you need in a VPN and more. Surfshark doesn't only increase online privacy, but it also helps you avoid hackers. If you ever use a public Wi-Fi hotspot, you should be using Surfshark to protect yourself from hackers by encrypting your online data. Surfshark also helps you access entertainment because the content you see is sometimes limited by your geographical location. Can't find something to watch on Netflix or other streaming services? You can unlock new libraries with Surfshark. You'll be able to access everything from news sources to social media apps that were previously unavailable to you. All you have to do is change your virtual location and access all the entertainment you want safely and securely. And you can try out Surfshark completely risk-free because they have a 30-day money-back guarantee. Get Surfshark VPN at surfshark.deals/wolf. By using my name, Wolf, as the promo code. You not only get 83% off, but your first 3 months are free. We use it, and you should too. That's surfshark.deals/wolf. A great VPN. Secure your digital life today.
Wolf, get away from those sheep.
Bollocks.
You're listening to the Wolf and the Shepherd podcast. Broadcasting from Fort Worth in the great state of Texas. Now, get ready for this episode of The Wolf and the Shepherd.
Welcome to this episode of The Wolf and the Shepherd. Today, we're going to take a look at internet security, more specifically, VPNs. VPNs are kind of all over the news. There's several companies out there advertising their products. VPNs are important, but I think there's a lot of people out there that really don't understand exactly what a VPN is. So before we get too deep into this, what does VPN even stand for?
Vice, porn, and narcotics.
Oh, I want to sign up immediately.
Right.
I mean, that sounds fun. That actually sounds more fun than the ATF, alcohol, tobacco, and firearms. Mm. Don't you agree? I mean, if you had to choose
what kind of party you're throwing, I think.
Well, I think it depends on what state you're from.
Right.
Yeah.
Be a crappy party up in New York. You wouldn't have any firearms.
True.
Everybody would have to wear masks anyway.
You know, buying alcohol up north in New England is still kind of weird. In Pennsylvania, you actually have to go to specific places to buy alcohol. And to buy beer, you actually have to go to a bar. Now, get this. In Texas, this is going to sound weird, right? You have to go to a bar, walk into the bar, buy the beer in the cans. They go in the back, or bottles. They go in the back, and then they hand it to you, and then you walk out of the bar. You can't go to a store and buy beer in Pennsylvania.
When my wife and I were in Chicago, I'm pretty sure we got whiskey in Walgreens.
Oh, yeah. And then the flip side of it from Texas, you know, liquor stores are closed on Sunday, but there's a lot of places. Yeah, you can go into a gas station and buy liquor. You can do that in Missouri.
It kind of sums up my life because I went into Walgreens. I think I wanted to get something for allergies, and I ended up buying some beef jerky and some whiskey.
So, yeah, exactly. It's bizarre. Yeah. But back on track, VPNs. What do they really stand for?
Well, the other acronym VPN stands for is Virtual Private Network. And a virtual private network basically hides you from the rest of the world. If you have your computer at home, obviously you're vulnerable to cyber attacks if you don't have any type of protection. Even if you don't directly access the internet, if you're connected to the internet, somebody can hack you.
Okay.
For that, you need a firewall. Okay. And obviously, you need a good virus scanner.
Yeah. Antivirus.
Yeah. But if you happen to go online, those things are not going to protect you. They only protect your computer at home. Okay. If you go online.
So I need something more than a firewall and an antivirus.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because every time you go online, your identity in terms of your location and basically your computer's location is constantly transmitted via your IP address. So if somebody gets hold of your IP address and they trace you back, they can do a lot of things to your computer. It's ridiculously simple. You can download malware and exploit ware in about 30 seconds after a simple Google search. And with somebody's IP address, depending upon the level of security they have, you can pretty much completely phish through their browser, take out any saved passwords, any saved financial information. It can be done really, really quickly, and it's pretty much untraceable.
But what you're saying is a VPN can prevent that.
It can prevent that because it's basically like putting on a costume at Halloween. When you're walking down the street, nobody knows who's under the costume.
Oh, okay. All right, so you're hiding.
Yeah, unless, of course, it's you, because your neighbors know you wear that same monkey outfit with the huge testicles every Halloween. But
right.
For the regular person, if they walk down a street, nobody knows who's in that.
So the VPN, though, basically lets you switch Halloween costumes all the time.
It can.
Yeah, you don't necessarily have to be the monkey with the big testicles.
Right.
For like one day, you can then dress up like Dorothy from The Wizard of Oz the next day using a VPN.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay. So now, how does that actually work?
Well, VPNs are actually ridiculously simple to use. Most people think, you know, I'm going to have to configure this depending upon my internet usage, depending upon what I've already got on my computer and everything else. But using a VPN is as easy as putting in your username and password.
Okay.
And as long as you have the software downloaded for the VPN you're using, then that's it. It will automatically boot up when your computer boots up. If for any reason you want to turn it off, it's simply just clicking a button, right-clicking and clicking a button, turn it off.
Why would you want to turn it off?
There are some websites you access where if it's coming through a VPN and it can't verify your identity, then it won't allow you to connect. A lot of financial institutions, such as banks, won't allow you to log into your account through a VPN because they don't know if somebody else is trying to hack into your account and they're using a VPN to hide their own tracks.
So there
are certain things you can't log into via VPN, but you can put exceptions through that VPN so that when you're actually at a website and you want to make a secure login, it does actually verify it's you and it doesn't look like you're living in Bangladesh.
Right. So basically, I use Chase Bank, right? Mm-hmm. So I can tell my VPN, hey, you don't have to hide it's who I am because I want Chase Bank to know it's me. Mm-hmm. I don't want Chase Bank to let somebody in, even if they knew my username and password, without verifying, hey, you know, this guy's in Fort Worth, Texas. This is kind of where he lives. It's round about here. He's got the correct username and password. So that's okay. But if Bangladesh, I don't know why we're so anti-Bangladesh. I mean, we don't know how many listeners we have from Bangladesh, and we have nothing against them, I don't think.
Well, I don't know yet. I haven't looked up the area enough to know if we do have anything against them yet.
But let's stick with Bangladesh, because it's kind of fun to say, actually. I don't want anybody from Bangladesh or pretending to be from Bangladesh accessing my bank account.
Mm.
Yeah. Makes sense. So is there anything else I can do with the VPN other than just kind of hiding the fact of who I am, you know, and preventing these people from jumping into my computer?
Yeah, a lot of people will actually use VPNs to access streaming websites where the content may be blocked. So say you wanted to watch a fight, a boxing fight or MMA fight, and it's blocked from you accessing it, watching a stream. If you go through a VPN, you can actually access other websites which will allow you to view that content. It won't be blocked in your region. So say like
the old DVDs.
A little bit. I mean, with the region encoding on the old DVDs, you know, the software which if the header on that DVD didn't coordinate with that region code, and then it just refused to play the disc.
Right.
Okay,
but what
you have on online, if it says that if your IP address is traced back to North America, but the broadcast says that this broadcast is not for North America, a lot of the time you won't be able to stream it. And so with most VPNs, you can actually choose your location. And so if this broadcast was only, say, for a Spanish audience, you can set your location to actually be somewhere in Spain. So you can actually watch that broadcast.
Well, but a lot of times I can see where people want computers, right, to make their life simple. So even though you're sharing your location, you're actually doing yourself a disservice by going to, let's say, weather.com, and you want to know what the weather is where you're at. So you go to weather.com, and you're like, oh, look, the computer knows I'm in Fort Worth, Texas, and it's telling me it's 68 degrees outside. How convenient is that? It's actually better to go to weather.com, and it says what the weather is in Bangladesh, and then you just go up and say, I want the weather for this zip code, the zip code I'm in. One quick, easy next step, because that weather.com, I can ask what the weather is in New York City just because I'm curious, even though I'm in Bangladesh. So it's actually better. So what we think of as convenience actually is detrimental to us.
Yeah, I mean, I think with Windows 10 and now with Windows 11, it's very similar to how cell phones work in terms of the location services. And I think by default, location services with Windows 10 and Windows 11 is switched to on. And so a lot of the websites which previously used to ask for your location now automatically get your location. If it's considered a trusted website by Microsoft, then they will share your location unless you specifically opt out of it, which is quite difficult to do if you're not really familiar with the system settings within Windows.
Right. If you're just the normal person, right, goes down to, let's say, Best Buy, right? They buy a computer, they get it out, they're like, okay, here's my name, and oh, I'm going to put a 4-digit PIN on here to keep everything safe, you know, so I'm going to put 1234 in there so nobody can get in my computer. And then all of a sudden, you see this little pop-up, you know, you go to weather.com, and I'm not saying they do this, but there's usually that little pop-up that says, weather.com would like to know your location, allow or block. Well, at that point, they already know. Right, because you're using your IP, you're not behind a VPN. They really already know where your location is. And now it's like, do you trust us with your location? Because we really already know what it is. So are you going to allow it or are you going to block it? And then you hit block and you feel really good, even though they already know where you're at. Pretty close?
Yeah, that's pretty close. I mean, you know, I would recommend that nobody ever allows websites to see your location, period. There's pretty much a search box on every single website which asks for your location where you can just enter a zip code rather than, you know, the easy
or,
one.
Or what you're looking for, like you want to go to Walmart and buy something, you know, it's going to find that location and say, oh, you know, we have whatever product you're searching for at our local store. But you can actually just type in the zip code because even though there's a Walmart close to me, maybe it's not really convenient for me to go to that one because it's not on my way home from work. So I drive by this other Walmart, and you can actually look at it that way.
Right. And the vast majority of people never delete their cookies. And the problem is you can visit a trusted website and have your location details in there, and it'll be saved in the cookie, but it's very easy for people to actually steal your cookies if they know where you are.
Okay, so that actually sounds like a Sesame Street episode with Cookie Monster. Yeah. But what good does it do somebody to steal your cookies?
Well, it's got all of your information, including your location on there and what browser you were using, and a lot of information which, if anybody knows what they're doing, can easily insert a little piece of malware which will actually rip everything you've saved in your browser out and send it to whoever they decide they want to send it to.
Now, other than like some kid sitting in, well, Bangladesh, right, that wants to write all this malware and then sit back and just kind of laugh and giggle and say, oh, I fooled that American, or I fooled that British guy, or I fooled that Frenchman, or whatever, and just have a giggle. Besides that, what's the nefarious reasons why people want to run out and do this to other people?
Well, the money stolen by hacking is larger than the world international drug trade.
Wow.
That's how much money is stolen each year worldwide from hacking. It actually now dwarfs the money used in the illegal drug trade.
Dang. I believe you. I mean, it makes sense. So if I'm on a budget, right? And I say, okay, well, I bought my computer, and of course I got to have my internet because I got to have my Netflix, got to have my Hulu, got to have my Disney Netflix. Plus.
What's Netflix? Is Netflix. It for squirrels?
Oh, I said Netflix.
My favorite acorn tree, volume one.
There you go. Now I've got to pay money for extra security on my computer. But I'm on a tight budget, and I have to choose between a VPN or an antivirus software, which is more important for me to spend money on.
It depends on your internet activity. I mean, if you visit just trusted websites, the only way really you're going to get hacked is if that trusted website gets hacked, which can happen. I mean, Yahoo lost like 3 billion accounts or something ridiculous.
But there
Equifax,
were
Equifax, a lot of the credit unions have been hacked.
There were this, what was the cell phone website? They got hacked, and it was a T-Mobile. Yeah, they got hacked, and all that data.
Yeah. However much prevention you do on your end, you're still at the mercy of how well, you know, the websites you visit, how their security is. But, you know, at least from a legal point of view, in terms of, you know, if you have to make claims against a company for losing your information or exposing your information, you can get some financial, recompense for it. But
sure,
if it's from your own
error, it's a big pain in the ass.
It is.
I mean, you might get some restitution, but it still takes all your time, and you got to chase all that down and everything. It's, you know, prevention. What is it? An ounce of prevention's worth a pound of cure, right? So it's better to prevent than have to go through all that mess.
Right. Unless, of course, it's COVID.
Yeah, that's true.
But the thing is as well with VPNs is that, you know, you can get free VPNs. I mean, it's pretty easy to download a free VPN, but they'll only give you about 5 locations you can use. Okay. So say if you used a free VPN, it might say, you know, you can access the internet from Madrid, some university in Germany, Australia, or wherever. And hackers deliberately target those VPN centers because they realize that, okay, if people are using VPNs, they obviously want to protect something. And so those places are constantly attacked. Those free VPN sites, all day long, people are trying to brute force into those networks.
And so you're almost better off not even using
it. You are better off not using a free VPN.
Yeah, so you're basically saying, hey, I got something to hide,
yeah,
and I'm using this free VPN. Obviously, the hackers already know where those free VPNs point to, so you're better off, once again, not even using one because you're actually bringing attention to yourself by using
the
free
one. It's like carrying a big bag out of the bank late in the evening.
Yeah.
It's like probably got something in that bag.
Walking in without anything under your arm, and you walk out with a bag under your arm, it's like, oh, okay, that guy's got a bunch of cash on him.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, paid VPNs, they vary. They're very similar in terms of effectiveness, but it's important to go with a trusted VPN because some of the VPNs over the past decade or so have appeared, then disappeared. You know, the networks haven't been super secure. There's been a lot of lawsuits because, you know, companies have used those VPNs and the VPNs have let them down. So it's important to do your research and go with a very trusted, secure VPN, one which normally has won a lot of awards, you know, like the CNET awards and all that stuff. Because a cheap VPN is, you know, just no use.
And not necessarily the price that you're paying, but you're talking about like a fly-by-night type deal.
Yeah. You want something which has been around for a few years with a good reputation, also good speeds. That's important because, you know, if you do a lot of file transfers.
What do you mean by the speed of the VPN?
Well, because depending on the VPN you're using and the networks it sends it through, it can slow your upload and download speed. And this is why some VPNs are more expensive than others, because they guarantee faster speeds. And they have networks which they go through which are exclusive to them, or they buy a certain amount of bandwidth. But using a VPN can vastly slow your internet down.
No matter how much you're paying through your internet service provider, you might be paying for 100 up, 100 down.
Yeah.
And then you get a VPN that only allows 25 up, 25 down. That's the best you're going to do, no matter that you're paying for the 100 up, 100 down over here.
So that's why it's important that you do your research, not just for how long the VPN has been around and how reliable it is and how secure it is, but also the speed. because if, you know, you're reliant upon speed for the job you do, or you stream a lot of movies, or indeed you want to watch something like Netflix and you've got multiple kids in the house or whatever, then, you know,
or you want it higher quality, which requires more down speed and all that.
So, I mean, it's a good job to do all of your research to make sure the VPN checks those boxes. Longevity, security, obviously price, because you don't want to be ripped off.
Right.
But also the speed.
Gotcha. No, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Now, most people would probably say, well, if I use a VPN, then I feel like I'm trying to hide something. And maybe that's really not a bad thing, right? I mean, we're kind of living in this society right now where it's like, oh, I have nothing to hide. But maybe you really don't have nothing to hide. I have nothing to hide. You know, you can come in my house and you can see everything I have. I have nothing to hide. But do some people realize they should be kind of hiding stuff even though they have nothing to hide?
Whose voice is that, by the way?
Oh, that's Jim.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, everybody has something to hide if you have an identity, because one of the biggest crimes on the internet is obviously identity theft. And it doesn't matter if you have any money attached to your name. It doesn't matter if you're overdrawn in the bank. Actually having somebody else's identity can be used for a variety of different things. Basically, in terms of getting fake passports, setting up accounts in your name, because even if you've got a relatively bad credit record and say it's only like about 425, there are still credit cards which you can get. Might only have a limit of $250 on it, whatever, but there are still ways using your identity people can get money. And obviously they have no intent to pay them back. So you're going to be saddled with that debt if you didn't take precautions to protect your identity.
Yeah. No, that makes sense. And I didn't even think about the credit aspect, right? But let's take that out of it. I mean, there's so many people that say, well, I only go to these certain websites, and I don't go to the bad websites, right? I don't go to pornography websites. I don't download illegal movies. I don't do all that. So, you know, why should I have this? Or maybe, and let's bring this credit thing in, right? I don't access my credit card information online, and I never buy anything online. Basically, my parents, right? Mm. I mean, my mom to this day gets her credit card bill through the mail, busts out the old school checkbook, writes out the check, goes in, I think single-handedly keeps the United States Postal Service in business because still loves mailing letters, and the most important part of her day is checking the mail and all that, mails everything off. So there's no credit card information whatsoever going through the computer, but they still have this online identity, right?
Mm. Now, ironically, the post office does tend to operate like it's reliant purely on your mom's contribution to
I think so, yes. Yeah. I think that's basically their business model. Yeah. When they submit the budget, it's Wanda Billington funding 99% of their budget.
Yeah. Now, there is, technically speaking, no such thing as a safe website, because everybody who accesses the internet has to go through certain servers. So say we access Google, I think there's between 8 and 10 servers, which you will be randomly assigned to each time you type in google.com.
Okay.
And it's like a waiting room. And if hackers can get into that waiting room and you don't have great security, as in they can see where you come from.
Can they?
They can see where you come from while you're in that waiting
room.
Well,
no, can
on
they
that
get,
server.
But yes. Can they get into the waiting room, so to speak?
Yeah.
How hard is that?
About 4 minutes, I suppose.
Okay.
Because it takes you about 2.5 minutes to download the software and...
Well, depending on the internet speed and what your VPN speed is, right?
Yeah. No,
yeah, it could be almost 3 minutes.
It's easy to get to basically hijack people. You know, as they're going from point A to point B on the internet, that route going from point A to point B is very, very dangerous. When you actually get at the location again, you're normally pretty safe unless that location itself gets hacked. But it's the on route thing, which is where you get hijacked. It's like a road where you're getting carjacked on the road.
Right.
And if you don't have a VPN, it can be ridiculously easy
Yeah.
To jump you so on that
now,
route.
So now let's take away the fact of I'm sitting at home, right? And a lot of people, they're mobile, right? You know, they access their internet, their accounts, whatever, on their phone, or they've got their laptop around, and they're like, oh, look, I'm at McDonald's. Free Wi-Fi. Mm-hmm. Where does the VPN come in? Kind of important with free Wi-Fi, because once again, nothing's free.
Right.
So it, where can a VPN benefit on that free Wi-Fi situation?
A lot of people think free Wi-Fi is basically down to companies' benevolence and being nice and kind, but
value-added service. Hey, come have a Big Mac, and while you're here, you don't have to use your cell data. You can use our free Wi-Fi. Right.
But basically, they sell all of your information, which is why if you connect, say, to Starbucks continually, they will record the days, times you visit, the websites you accessed while you were there, how long you spent on each ad. And as most people know, they've all experienced the phenomenon where if you talk about something automatically on your phone or online, right, you know, those ads will appear. Ad. Well, you're going to get ads which Starbucks have been paid to send your way, and whoever they've sent your data to or whoever they've sold your data to is going to be spamming you.
Yeah, and I've heard these stories, and you tell me if you think this is correct. So let's use Starbucks, mm-hmm. right? And let's say you religiously go to Starbucks.
Drink some shitty coffee.
Yeah, it's a, you know, between 8 and 9 in the morning, mm-hmm. Monday through Friday. And Starbucks realizes whenever you get there, you come in, you get your coffee. You get the same coffee every time, right? You get a large coffee every time. And you're religiously there Monday through Friday. Is it true that you might end up with coupons saying, good Saturdays and Sundays, half price coffee? Mm-hmm. Because they're like, for some reason, we can't get the wolf in here on the weekends. He comes Monday through Friday. We're getting his money, but if we could just get him in here on the weekends, and then you get this coupon, you're like, well, I'm going Monday through Friday, but I usually stay home on the weekends. But now that I can get it half off on the weekends, maybe now I'm going to come in on Saturday and Sunday, because it's like drinking 6 days of coffee or 7 days of coffee for the price of six. And I'm already spending my money there, and they already know me. And so is that kind of a like a marketing ploy, a trick to get you to actually come in there and spend more money at their spot because they're collecting that data of you accessing their free Wi-Fi?
Yeah, and then it goes hand in hand with a lot of the loyalty apps. Like if you, a lot of people will pay with their Starbucks app. They'll have the Starbucks card actually on their phone.
Right.
And it's the same thing. I mean, all of that data is sold, and in conjunction with you using their free Wi-Fi, they put together a pretty good profile of you because you've already entered information into the app anyway, the loyalty app. Then they have access, they have all the websites you've been visiting. They can choose which ads come through while you're connected to the internet there. The ads you get on there are ones from their preferred providers.
Or you know, you're in there, and let's get real tinfoil hat right now, right? So now you're in Starbucks 5 days a week. You go in there, and you're flipping through your phone, and you're searching stuff. Can Starbucks then sell the fact that you were searching for Yeti cups?
Yeah, absolutely. That's what they did.
Starbucks, and then they turn around and say, hey, this guy was in here on our Wi-Fi looking for Yeti cups. Then that gets sold to them. Then all of a sudden, Yeti figures out a way to send you an ad, a Facebook ad, an email or something saying, hey, you know, Yeti cups are normally $10, but use this coupon and it's $7.95.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
But a VPN can actually protect you from that.
Yeah, a VPN would protect you from that. Even if you connect to free Wi-Fi, you can still go via VPN. So what it reads from your phone is basically a whole bunch of junk. And it's not you, basically. But to be honest, I mean, if you've signed up for one of those loyalty apps and you connect to Wi-Fi, in there, even a VPN within Starbucks isn't necessarily going to stop that, because the synergy between the app and you using their Wi-Fi is easy to identify the device you're using, whether it be a phone or a laptop. So my recommendation would be, do not use free Wi-Fi.
Right.
Because also everybody else on that network can access, if they've got half a brain and can use a search engine, can also access whatever it is you're doing on your computer.
Yeah. So it basically, no matter what you're doing, I'm going to go with literally no matter what you're doing, you should be behind a VPN.
Yeah.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Absolutely.
It's just, you know, to me, I think it's more important than antivirus software. Because the antivirus software and Defender, which is built into Windows,
right,
does a good enough job. And in my personal opinion, it's better than stuff like Norton anyway.
Yeah.
But I would still pick a VPN over an antivirus software if I had the choice.
Yeah. And quite honestly, you can find VPNs cheaper than antivirus.
Yeah. Yeah. And a lot of VPN services will actually do deals with you, because most people, once they see how easy they are to set up, no maintenance whatsoever.
I think a lot of it, though, is that fear, right? Mm-hmm. That they've never had one before. They've never signed up for it, and they think it's complicated, and so they kind of steer away from it.
Mm. It's hard. I'd say it's 10 times harder to sign up for a Facebook account than it is to set up a VPN account.
Yeah,
and pretty much everybody's got some type of social media account. I can guarantee it was a lot harder to sign up for that social media account than it was to sign up for a VPN.
And it's even harder to manage a social media account than it is to even sign up for one.
Yeah.
Let's be honest.
You don't have to wish anybody happy birthday on VPN every day. That's my big complaint.
Oh, that's a big selling point, though. Yeah, you don't have to mess with that.
Yeah.
And then it's like, oh, that person didn't wish me a happy birthday on Facebook. They must not really like me. Yeah. Unfriend.
Yeah,
I hate that stuff. Well, good. I hope everybody learned a little bit about VPNs. If you have any questions or whatever, I mean, the Wolf's an expert on computers, so shoot us an email. By all means, we'd be willing to go ahead and answer that for you. If you're watching this on YouTube, click our logo down below. Please subscribe to our channel. It does help us out. We appreciate that. And with all that said, thanks for tuning into this episode of The Wolf and the Shepherd.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Wolf and the Shepherd podcast. If you like what you just heard, we hope you'll pass along our web address, thewolfandtheshepherd.com, to your friends and colleagues. And please leave us a positive review on iTunes when you get a chance. Check us out on YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter for additional content. Join us next time for another episode of The Wolf and the Shepherd.